Today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 60. If you want to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60, we can sort of sum this chapter up in a very simple way. It looks at the millennial kingdom, the restoration of Israel to the land after the Great Tribulation. It doesn't look into all the details of the millennial kingdom, but basically it's looking at how the nations, the Gentile nations, will be brought up to Jerusalem, will be supportive of Jerusalem, of Zion, of the people of Israel, will bring their wealth to Israel. All the wealth of the world will flow towards the direction of Israel. And the darkness that encumbered the world, enshrouded the world, will be lifted. So let's just look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people," or the peoples, plural. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Now, the person or the group here being spoken of is the people of Israel. When it says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and thy glory of the Lord is risen upon thee," the "thee" here is the nation of Israel. And when it's, verse 2 says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth." Of course, the world had passed through the Great Tribulation, the darkness of the time period of when the god of this world, Satan, had kept people shrouded in darkness. And gross darkness, the peoples. The peoples, the plural here, of course, are the Gentile nations. "But the Lord has risen upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Because the glory of the Lord is risen now prophetically upon Israel. It's looking at that future day when the glory of the Lord will be arisen upon Israel. Then blessing will flow out to the Gentiles. The darkness will be lifted from them again, as well. And there's many prophecies that speak of this. For example, Psalm 67, when this is when the Lord's face shines upon Israel, then saving knowledge will go out to the nations, okay? And it's sort of just the reverse of what we have today, what's happening in the present period. Like, if you would turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 11, you'll see this. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 says, "I will say then, have they stumbled," that is the people of Israel, "have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their salvation, through their fall, rather, salvation has come to the Gentiles, as to the nations, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them," that is of the people of Israel, their present condition, "be the riches of the world, and if the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" And so what Paul's speaking about here, the present period is the period of Israel's fall, their stumbling, their diminishing. And because of their fall, because of their stumbling, because of their diminishing, the riches have gone of salvation, of the knowledge of salvation, have gone out to the Gentile nations. I'm speaking here today as a saved Gentile, okay? And the only reason I'm a saved Gentile is because Israel rejected their Messiah, and through that rejection of him, salvation has now gone out to the Gentiles. But the Gentile nations are not largely converted, even though there's, you know, I guess they would calculate a billion Christians in the world, but that's Christendom. But of actual saved people, of actual born-again believers and spirit-filled believers in the world, we're actually a minority that's being called out from among the Gentiles. It's not a mass conversion of the Gentiles what's happening. But what will happen is when the people of Israel are saved after the Great Tribulation, then there will be a great influx of the Gentile nations. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 12. "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, how much more their fullness?" And so in verse 15, he reiterates that. He says, "For if the casting away of them," that is of the people of Israel, their present condition, "be the reconciling of the world," that is what's happening now, reconciliation has gone out to the Gentiles, "what shall the receiving of them be but life from among the dead?" And so this is what we see now in chapter 60 of Isaiah. It's the receiving of Israel back to God, and not now just a remnant from amongst the Gentile nations being saved and being made members of the body of Christ, but rather the Gentile nations as a whole, en masse, being converted and being brought up to Israel. Israel will be the center of the millennial kingdom, and that's what's brought out here in this passage. It was interesting, I took my old Matthew Henry commentary out and looked at what Matthew Henry said. Now, we love Matthew Henry. He's one of the old Puritan writers, and he's very quaint in his writing style, and you can glean lots of stuff from him. But his post-millennial theology in these verses interprets this to be the church, the nations coming to the church for salvation. But the church is not here at all. We're dealing with the land. We're dealing with the world. We're dealing with the nations. We're dealing with the people of Israel. To spiritualize this all in the church is really a mistaken, the mistaken teaching of post-millennialism. There's nothing about the church here at all. This is future, okay? And so in verse 3, we find of Isaiah 60, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." It's not the church. The Gentiles are not coming to the church. They're coming to Israel. They're coming to Jerusalem. "Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they that gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." And so it'll be a great ingathering of the people of Israel. Their final ingathering. We've seen many ingatherings after their scattering. We see them regathered after the Babylonian captivity. We see them regathered now after the Roman dispersion. But there will be the great and final regathering of the people of Israel after the Great Tribulation at the beginning of the millennium. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 2, we get a very similar prophecy about the nations coming up to Jerusalem. It says in verse 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills." In other words, it will be the preeminent nation. "And all the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law," Zion is Jerusalem, "and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." There we get the interpretation. And verse 1 tells us it's a prophecy concerning Judah and Jerusalem. We cannot spiritualize this and read the church into it. Now, we may glean applications for us who are believers, members of the church. Spiritual instruction, encouragement, application. We can get all that from the Old Testament scriptures. But the interpretation is for Israel. Okay, we should be clear about that. And then, of course, in verse 4 of Isaiah 2, we see the famous prophecy that they'll beat their swords into they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they shall learn war no more. There will be universal peace over the world. But verse 2 and 3, we have what we have here in Isaiah chapter 60 exactly. Now we get. If you read through the chapter, we won't take the time to look at all the verses. You can look at them yourself. But what you'll see is that the wealth of the nations will be brought up to Israel. You get this in verse 6. "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea here are the Gentile nations, the abundance of the sea will be converted to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto you. The sea, the nations will be converted unto you. They'll be coming up to Jerusalem, and they'll be bringing their wealth up as well." And then in verse 6, we get this interesting prophecy. Verse 6 says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah," mentions these Gentile nations that were near to Israel in the prophetic land. It says, now notice this, "They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." You see, these Gentile nations will show forth the praises of the Lord. And it says that they'll bring gold and incense up to Jerusalem. Why? Because the king is there. The king of Israel is there. The Lord Jesus Christ will be reigning from the throne of David. And they'll bring their gold and incense up. In fact, incense here can be translated frankincense. In fact, my New American Standard Bible, that's exactly what it says. It says they will bring gold and frankincense. Remember, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus was born, the wise men who were Gentiles, they were not Jews, they came from the east, from these areas that are mentioned here probably, and they came and they brought gifts to the king of Israel. They asked Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And what they brought to him gold and frankincense, just what's mentioned here, and they also brought myrrh. And myrrh is a picture of suffering. Myrrh is that gum that represents suffering in the Bible, suffering and death. We can't take the time to go into the details of that, but myrrh represents suffering. But the myrrh is not mentioned here, and the reason why it's not mentioned here is because Christ's sufferings are done. Christ's sufferings are finished. When the Magi came up to worship the Lord Jesus, they were anticipating this prophecy here. They were a forerunner of this prophecy. They were like a pre-fulfillment of this prophecy, a foreshadowing of it. But there's still in the future day when all the nations come up, but they won't be bringing myrrh. Christ's sufferings are past. Just the glory, just the praise will ascend to God. The frankincense, the praise will go up to God. And the gold, in recognizing his kingship, okay? The sufferings are done. And then it says in verses 7 down, verse 11, it speaks of the fact that they will have part, the Gentiles will have part in the rebuilding of the millennial temple. It says in the end of verse 7, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Or that can be translated, I will beautify my beautiful house. This is confirmed in verse 13, where it says that the Lord is going to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. You know, there's going to be a millennial temple. And what we find in these passages is that the wealth of the Gentiles will be contributed to this effort to rebuild the temple, the millennial temple for the people of Israel. Because this millennial temple will not be just for the people of Israel. It will be for all nations. Okay, all nations will come up and worship. We get this in the prophet Zechariah, chapter 14. You know, in the previous chapters of Zechariah, we get the Lord's coming, the great tribulation, and so on. And then in chapter 14, verse 4, we find his feet standing upon the Mount of Olives. Then later in chapter 14, it speaks of all the nations coming up. In verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, that is left after the great tribulation, shall come up against Jerusalem, that have come up against Jerusalem, those that are left from that, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. For all those nations that have survived the great tribulation, who had originally attacked Jerusalem, now will come up to Jerusalem to worship. It's interesting to see how all the prophets agree, right? And then we come to the book of Revelation, we see the same thing. The conversion of the Gentiles, the millennial kingdom, right? The deliverance of Israel out of great tribulation, and so on. The church has a special place with the glory of Christ on high over that scene. But this is not brought out in Isaiah. We'll just close off here with the concluding verses of the chapter. It speaks in verse 18, there will be no more violence heard in the land. Right? There will be no more destruction or violence against the people of Israel, but rather salvation. Your walls will be called salvation, and your gates will be called praise. Now just drop down to verse 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They will all be converted, and they shall inherit the land forever. You see, inherit the land forever. This has nothing to do with the church. It has to do with the land of Israel. We've got to get that into our heads, right? Postmillennialism and amillennialism is a false teaching, okay? It's simply not scriptural. Neither of those eschatological theories are scriptural. But what we have here is the conversion of Israel, their restoration in the land. They'll inherit the land forever. They'll be the branch of my planting and the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. God will be glorified through the restoration of Israel in the last days. Our God is a mighty God, and he's a mighty God for you too, even today. And he can restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. And he can restore our own hearts so we can gain that application from it. He's a merciful God. May you be encouraged today. Amen.